going as they should. And so I want to thank each one for the part and the role that we play here. Everybody is important. A lot of times I think the preaching takes a precedence or it takes a priority, and I don't think it should be that way. I'm no more important than any other aspect of this worship, and the message is just as important and no less important or more important than the Lord's Supper or the singing or anything that we do to strive to praise God. And so we need to keep that in mind as we come together to work, to live, to serve, and to worship our God. He's good to us. He's blessed us richly, and we need to be very thankful for that. In the time that we have to get today to study together, I'm going to present some information on the Bible truth. Now, admittedly, if I ever help to get information from somebody else, even if I bring it up all totally myself, it's still not my own because it's stuff that I've heard and studied and brought together. But this is a lesson that I took from an article by the man in the name of Jerry Joseph. He wrote an article in their bulletin here about 2 weeks ago, and the more I read it and the more I thought about it, the more I thought, I really, really want to share that. And so I modified it and put it together, but he is actually the source of the basic lesson here. And so Jerry Joseph is the preacher for the St. Peter's Church of Christ in around St. Louis area, and they have supported us here for many years. And so at any rate, I've known him for a long time, and he sends out an email once a week with the bulletin that they have, and so I appreciate that. I also like to mention, I appreciate Becky for dealing with the bulletin. That is a challenge, and it's something I think that is good for each of us, and I appreciate the work that she does there. That's usually a pretty thankless job, but I am very thankful for that. And so, at any rate, the Bible truth. And so as we look at this lesson, I want to spend just a little bit of time with defining a word in the first point. And that is absolute. Bible truth is absolute. And absolute is a word that helps us to understand that there's just simply no variables. It is what it is. In man's world, this world in which we live, I know that truth can sometimes fluctuate. For instance, for many centuries, they believed the earth was flat, right? And the truth of the day was that the world is flat. Was it actually true? No, it wasn't. And it didn't matter how much you believed it. It didn't matter if everybody on this earth believed it. It was still not flat. And so, even when you put it into the realm of man's truth, we might call it truth, but if it ain't truth, it ain't truth. Okay? But Bible truth, guys, is absolute. And so I want to look at this in four different areas or five different areas today, and I want to say simply, number one, Bible truth is absolute. It is what it is. It's not one thing to me and another thing to you. We need to accept it. The second is that Bible truth is attainable. And I know that in the world we live in, everybody thinks, well, you know, that's your interpretation. And a guy told me that the other day, and I said, let's stop interpreting. And let's start listening. And people say, well, I just can't understand it. Well, but we're going to look at some evidence that helps us to see that Bible truth is attainable. And we'll look at those things. We'll also understand that Bible truth is all important. We're going to look at some scriptures that help us to see what all important actually means and how important it is to know and understand and follow that Bible truth. And thirdly, we're going to look at fourthly, we're going to look at the fact that Bible truth is authoritative. In other words, when God speaks, it's spoken. Okay? It's kind of like, you know, I put up with whiners at home. And when my kids got to a certain age that I'm thinking, I think I see the mistake that I've made. So I set them down, and I said, guys, we're going to stop the whining. If I speak, it's settled. If you argue, it's going to get worse. And so it's amazing how peace and harmony came to my home when I did that. And, you know, and we might, you know, our day and world, we think, oh, no, that's terrible. You can't do that. But we had peace and harmony after that. They understood that when I spoke, it was over with. Finished. We weren't discussing it anymore. It was amazing how peaceful it was. Guys, Bible truth is authoritative. And when God speaks, you might try to argue, but don't waste your breath. Because it isn't going to do any good. Because God has spoken. And then the fifth thing that we'll look at is that Bible truth must. Okay, that's a four-letter word. Bible truth must be accepted and applied. Now, as we look at this, we're going to study these as a whole, and we'll bring down through there, and we'll look at these each of these individually. And I've got a lot of verses to cover, and we will finish this lesson this afternoon, so I don't want you to miss out, so make plans. So, the Bible truth is absolute, guys. And so, let's look at some verses that help us to understand this. In Matthew chapter 7, we have an account of Jesus when he was giving the Sermon on the Mount. You know, it's kind of interesting. You know, it's kind of hard to argue with Jesus when he speaks. But as we look at Jesus and the things that he said, oftentimes we need to look and understand the importance of what he said and what that means when he says such a thing. And so in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15, Jesus made this statement. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. So now, as you look down through this context, you learn that when he's talking about false prophets, he's talking about people coming and teaching and saying things that are not true. And so, as I look at this statement, I recognize that when Jesus made that statement, he's saying that truth is truth. It can't be changed. It is absolute, it is settled, and it has been since the foundation of the world. God had already determined before he made the world that what was going to be true. Now, we might not like that a lot of times, you know? We get in the bind and we want to lie to get out of trouble. Okay? Does that make it right? No, it doesn't make it right. You know? And so, but the fact of the matter is, God said that lying is wrong. And so, we might finagle and try to find a way to wiggle out of that. We might try to finagle out a way to get out of being kind or loving or being worshiping God and serving Him. But God has still said. And there are those that come along and want to say, it's okay. You don't have to do that. Okay? The Bible says, let him that stole steal no more. And then somebody comes and says, that's just your interpretation. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. What did Jesus say? He said, don't steal. And that's not my interpretation. And so, Bible truth is absolute. And people may come along and say, that's not what it says. But that's what Jesus was talking about. False prophets would come and teach things that were not true and were not right. And so I want to go to 1 John chapter 4 and look at verse 1. And as you look at the book of 1 John, you are looking at a book where there were people that were gaining a special knowledge or a special wisdom that had come from God. In other words, it was separate from what the Bible said. There are people that are saying that Jesus really didn't die on the cross. They were having all kinds of things and theories that were coming up, and they were saying, if you want to be godly, you have to punish the body. You have to do terrible things to the body if you want to be godly. There are people that were saying, if you want to be godly, you just give your body any and every indulgence that you can imagine. Have you ever heard of the Epicurean delight? That was came from a word of the Epicureans. And they were a group of Christians, and of course that was, I think, a Greek word, but it was adapted by them, and that was their Epicurean aspect of Christianity. And so at any rate, these people were inundated with these teachings that were coming along. And so in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1, John makes this statement. He said, "Believe not every spirit, but try or test the spirits whether they are God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." And so, this is the question. If truth is not absolute, in other words, you look at it, you take it this way, and you do it your way. I look at it, I take it my way, I do it my way. If that is true, why would we test them? What would be the reason? You know, I send the oil out on my airplane and send a sample in the mail to somewhere, I think in Minnesota, when I change the oil. And if I don't get a call within about 3 or 4 days, that's good news. Okay? That means that my motor is not destroying itself. About a month later, I get this email that gives me the analysis of that oil. Imagine yourself at 9,000 feet. Do you want to know if that crankshaft is going bad? Do you think I really want the truth? Do you think that if there is something going wrong and that motor is going to disintegrate at 9,000 feet, that I want them to tell me it's okay? I don't want that. I want them to let me know that there's going to be a problem probably on my next takeoff, and we might have an issue and come down in a hurry. Okay? And so I want the truth. Now, maybe we could send it off and maybe I could get my own little test kit and see that it's bad, and I could say, "Huh, well, I'm going to interpret that as it's really okay." Does that make sense? Why would we do it with our soul? God says test the spirits. And when He says test the spirits, He follows that up. He says many false prophets are going out into the world. So in other words, there's people that tell you things that are wrong. But you can go back to the Bible and see if they're really telling you the truth. Because, guys, truth is absolute. It is not variable. And so now I want to go to 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we have a letter that was written to the church at Corinth. Now, one of the things, you know, a lot of times people talk about troubles in the church. And I found out that when you get more than a half a person together, there's trouble. Okay? Do you ever have trouble by yourself?
Yes.
So, yeah, I do too. It's amazing. But then you add more people, and then what do you have? More trouble. Maybe that's because me and you aren't perfect. Maybe you and me need to learn some things and do a better job. I think that's probably true. Well, when you got in the first century, even in the first century, when the apostles were coming into their midst, there were problems.
Now, the church in Corinth had a lot of pretty big problems that they were dealing with. They were teaching some things they shouldn't do. They were involved in some things they shouldn't be involved in. And so there was a lot of issues that they needed to be working on. Okay? So now, in chapter 1 and verse 10, the Apostle Paul, he starts out that letter by saying this. He says, "Now I beseech you." Now when he says, "I beseech you," he's saying, "Look, I'm begging you. I'm pleading with you. Please, please, please hear what I say. He says, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, you know, he's invoking the name of Jesus who died on the cross for our sins. He says, I'm pleading with you by Jesus. Watch what he says. That you all speak the same thing. And that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. I'm just look at that for just a minute. Guys, I know in the world that we live in, there's so many people that say truth is relevant. Okay, just call it what you want to call it. You know, if you don't like what it says, explain it away. If you don't like what it says, do what you want to do. And I know we see that, and that is kind of a human trait and something that we see and recognize. But if truth is relative, why did God say that we need to be united in the same mind and the same judgment? That we all speak the same things. Is that because it's okay that everybody does and thinks the way they want to think? I don't think so. I think it's pretty clear that God is saying that we need to follow the things that God tells us. Now, quite frankly, I've kind of learned this in life that if I disobey Him, it really doesn't bring a good end. Okay? I end up having troubles that I don't want to have. It's kind of like at home when our children disobeyed and they did something they shouldn't do and they get hurt. You know? We tell our children, we give them rules for a reason that are good for them. And we can really recognize that. We recognize, wrap our mind around that. You know, don't play in the street. You know? Don't walk off a cliff. Don't touch the hot stove. We tell our children because we know that's good for them and we recognize that. Why is it that that gets lost when we're listening to our Father in heaven with His instructions? It's just relative. You know, it doesn't really matter whether you touch the stove or not. Go ahead and just lay your hand on it. It'll be all right. Oh. We tell our children things and we understand that. And God is the same way. And God is saying, please, please, you need to be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Don't let there be any divisions among you. And so as we look at this, guys, I think it's very clearly as we look at Jesus' example and He's saying, look, there's false teachers out there. Don't listen to them. In fact, you need to test the things that are said and make sure that they're true. And He says, on top of that, you better be speaking the same thing. That means truth is absolute. There's no arguing with it. It is. The second thing that, you know, I think a lot of times we get to feeling like we're just not good enough. We can't figure out. We can't know. And it's just something, it's some pie in the sky attitude or idea that truth is actually attainable. Personally, I think that's a cop-out because we either don't like what it says or we're too lazy to try to find out. That's my opinion. Now, you might be able to think of some other reasons, but I think you'd recognize that those are probably two good reasons. You know, the reason we didn't know the earth was round for many years is because, number one, we didn't read the Bible and see the sphere of the earth. And nobody got in a boat and kept traveling until they found out that, oh, we didn't fall off the edge. Somebody had to get in there and try it. And so it's also easier to just believe what you're told. Isn't it? Just kind of like a dumb little lamb, we just follow along the leader wherever the leader goes. And we don't have to put out any effort. We don't have to give it any try. We just follow along. That's pretty easy. And so it's easy to say, well, we just can't understand the truth. I think it's a cop-out. But anyway, that's what many people say. Well, let's go to John chapter 8. And so we're going to test that theory and see exactly whether or not that might be true or whether or not that might be false. And so in John chapter 8, here again we have Jesus speaking. And I want to notice what Jesus says in this verse. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Guys, let me ask you a question. Did Jesus put truth in a knowable state? I think he did. He said, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Guys, truth, according to Jesus, is attainable. It is something that we can know. We just got to put forth a little effort. We got to kind of get out of this little box of ours and decide that, you know, I might have to put a little effort in. I might have to get out of my sphere of comfort zone. I might have to go against the grain of what I really like and what I want because, I mean, we're the land of the free, you know? We get to do as we please, you know? And so when it comes to God, here we are. We live in a very easy situation, and so we want God to fit in our box. And so when it comes to truth, you know, we want to find a way out a lot of times. And so the excuse of, we can't know the truth. We can't get there anyway. That person just called Jesus a liar. I don't want to be caught calling him a liar. And so truth is very knowable. In fact, when you go to 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4, we recognize a little bit about the knowableness of God's truth. So 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4. Notice here what God says. Let me back up just a little bit. Verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now you stop and think for just a minute about the sacrifice that God made so that you and I could be saved. Jesus died on the cross, guys. And when you study that sacrifice, you got to, in your mind, say, I just can't imagine what he's done. God has exponentially gone to great lengths so that you and I can go to heaven. God is saying here that we're going to have to know the truth to be saved. Do you see that? Do you see what he's saying? And so as I look at that passage, I recognize the great sacrifices that Jesus made so that I could go to heaven. That God allowed Christ to come to this earth and die on the cross and watched him die so that you and me could go to heaven. Doesn't it make sense that God would make it so that I could know how to get to heaven? Doesn't it make sense? What do you think for a minute that God would make it so that you can't figure it out? I think it's ludicrous to even think such a thing. But God is very clearly saying you're going to have to know. And it's going to have to be truth. Okay? It can't be some false prophet telling some oddball thing off the wall or something else and putting their own ideas into it. It's got to be truth. That which God says. Now, I didn't put this verse in the text, but in John chapter 17 and verse 17, Jesus, in speaking to God in his prayer, says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. I'm holding truth in my hand. You can know what it says. And I hear it over and over and over that about, well, we've all got our own interpretation. No. That don't even come close to talking about or relating to truth. Interpretation is an opinion. Truth is absolute. And truth is attainable. Jesus died on the cross. That proves that we've got a just and living God. Since we've got to know what He says and what to do, He made it so that we can understand it. That's what happens a lot of time. When we understand it, we back up. The hairs on the back of our head bristle up. And we say, but I don't like that.
I might not like it either.
So if we can know the truth, let's ask a few questions. Turn over one page to 2 Timothy 2:15. If we cannot know the truth, why would God tell us to study? Have you ever thought about that for a minute? It says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Do you notice those mix of words in there? He's saying study or give diligence. Give it all you got to be a man approved unto God, a workman approved to God. Notice how this individual is not ashamed because they rightly divide the word of truth. Now, it's interesting because if we can rightly divide the word of truth, can we also wrongly divide the word of truth? And if God tells us to study so that we can rightly divide the word of truth, is it possible to know it? You better believe it is. Guys, truth is attainable. If we can't know truth, in Acts chapter 5, or Acts chapter, or John chapter 5 and verse 39, I want us to note what Jesus told these people to do. John chapter 5 and verse 39. Notice, Jesus is talking with people that, well, let's say they were giving Him trouble and didn't want to follow Him. And He says to these individuals, search the Scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of Me. And so let me ask you a question. If you can't attain truth, why would Jesus instruct you to search? Would not that be kind of an irresponsible tyrant? And a ridiculous leader that would tell you to do something that was totally useless? Certainly. In fact, in Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, I want us to note something that made these people more noble than some other people. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, it says that these people were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. Notice, just sometimes the word of God shouts out things. To me it does. Notice what they received. The reward. They received the word. Not somebody's opinion. Not what they wanted to hear, but they received the word. And they received it with all readiness of mind. Sometimes our mind's not ready, and we get in a stupor because we don't like what it says. It ain't Burger King. Okay. I got news for you. It ain't Burger King. It's not a hodgepodge of take and pick and a smorgasbord where you go through the line and you pick this up and you pick this up. And, I don't like that, so I'm not having that. And it's not a smorgasbord. And so these people received the Scriptures with all readiness of mind, and they searched the Scriptures daily whether these things were so. Guys, if we can't know the truth, why search? There is absolutely no logical reason that a thinking, intelligent person would search the Scriptures if you can't know. And God would be very unjust to instruct us to search when we can't find. My God's not unjust. One more passage, and then we're going to close for this morning, and we will come back this afternoon and at 1 o'clock and finish this lesson. But I'm going to go to Psalm chapter 1, and I want to look at verses 1 and 2. In Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, we see an admonition within that passage to meditate on the Scriptures. Now, there's numerous places that we can go in the Bible to see that God requires or expects us to meditate. And so when I'm talking about meditate, I'm talking about sitting around and thinking about what it says. Okay? And that's important. We do that in the Bible class a lot of time. We come up with ideas and we kind of test them to see, will that work in this and will it not work? And that's part of study. But it says, watch this, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Now that's a negative part, but we're going to see the man that is blessed is the one that does not do that, but actually does number two, verse two. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. Blessed is the man whose delight is in the law and meditates or thinks about the law day and night. If you can't know it, if it's not attainable, why would God say that you're blessed for meditating on it? Bible truth. Bible truth is very important. Bible truth is absolute. It is not arbitrary. Bible truth is attainable. You and I can know, but not when we put our own opinion to it. Because all we'll know is our own opinion if we do that. Bible truth is required to be saved. You can't be saved without Bible truth. Because you're going to have to do what it says, what Jesus teaches that we are to do. Jesus teaches in the Scriptures that salvation comes because of several things that we need to be involved in. One is we need to study. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God in Romans 10, 17. You're going to have to study the Bible. You have to read it. And you know what? You can't please God without faith. It's impossible in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Try as you may, hope as you would, it won't do you any good. You're going to have faith. So you got to study, you got to have faith. But also, except you repent, you all likewise perish. Repentance means that I'm going to have to change. Okay? Sign language, that's change. Okay? I go from this to this. If I don't change, that's repent. This is change. Yeah. And so, I'm focusing on the change part. Change from what you want to what God says. Your idea to truth. But we also must confess that Christ is the Son of God. Romans 10, 9 and 10. You know, confess with the mouth that Jesus is the Christ. If He's the Son of God, He's got the right to tell me and you what to do. And Jesus said in Luke 6, verse 46, He said, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? If you don't do what He says, He ain't your Lord. What He says is in the New Testament. And that's what we need to do. And you know, quite frankly, I'd like to do that because I want to go to heaven. He also teaches that we need to be baptized for the remission of our sins. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That baptism is required by Christ. It's required to be done in His name and for the purpose that He says, for remission of sins. See, that's the plan that God gave us for salvation. Then He says you're going to have to be faithful. You know, it's easy in our own minds to determine what faithful is and be fairly comfortable in our own thinking and our own ways, but guys, the Bible's truth. It's authoritative. In other words, it's got the right to tell you what to do and got the right to get in your face, and you and I are going to have to change to be what it says. But we don't have truth, and we're not saved. We're not living faithful. Guys, it's a challenge sometimes to look at truth. We don't always like it the way it says. And it's easy to come up with little ideas and quaint little phrases and cute little sayings that help us to try to get around it, but truth is still truth. So unless we've done what God says to be saved, we're not saved. We might think that, but on the day of judgment, there won't be no mistake about it. And if we are, we better be faithful. Because we can have obeyed that plan of salvation and be just as lost as the devil himself. Because we've got to remain faithful unto death to receive that crown of life, Romans 2 and verse 10. Are you faithful? Are you saved? If not, change. Do now. Come forward as we stand and sing.
On the end, O Savior mine, dwelleth my soul in peace divine. He said the world, though all combine, never can take from me.